morning. I'd like to invite everyone to come on in and be seated. Welcome to Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church on this first Sunday in October. We'd like to welcome everyone this morning, and do we have any visitors with us? Anywhere? Let us pause for a moment as we light our candles. To welcome Jesus into our presence this morning, the light of our world. Let's go to announcements. Does anyone have any announcements this morning? Do we have any other announcements?
We'll have a session meeting tonight at 6 o'clock, and I think some of the committees are going to meet. So just talk to your chairman if you want to meet with the committee.
Okay, do we have any other? I know that you and Chelsea and Patrick are leaving
Wednesday. We're going to have a little something later.
Okay, all right. Do we have prayer concerns this morning? That's a definite.
Yes. Andrea may not want me to do this, but I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. She can get mad at me later. Our sweet Andrea has Bell's palsy. She's okay. She's just real droopy on one side. And the doctor has told her, you know, it's a temporary thing, and it could last a month. It could last 3 to 4 months. But please keep her and her family in your prayers. She and Larry are leaving in the morning for a week in Florida, which I told her that my instructions for her were to do nothing but walk on the beach and relax. And hopefully everything will be fixed when she gets home. But I know she's concerned about her mom and dad being alone this week and would greatly appreciate some of us giving them a phone call or maybe dropping by to say hi. Because I don't know if everybody's aware of it or not, but Andrea is basically their caregiver and takes them lunch every day. And Scott, pray for Scott, because Scott's handling it all alone this week. And he'll do fine. But just keep them in your prayers, please.
That is most definite. I talked to Andrea this past week, and she's going through a tough spot right now. Do you have any other prayer concerns?
What? this day for the fall colors that are just starting to begin, and for your creation. We just don't really know how to thank you every day for when we get up and we're so busy and we forget to look at what you have given us. Thank you for your presence here today in this worship service. We lift you up and we lift Jesus up and that wonderful gift that you gave us. And today we will commune with you around the table and again remember your sacrifice for us. We lift up all those that we've mentioned in prayer and all those that are on the list. We know that you can do all things, and we bow to your will. We thank you that you can comfort and strengthen and heal and lead, guide, and direct us. So, Father, we come to you in humble spirits today that you might lead us again as we travel around and try to do your will in this community and around the world. And now, Lord, as we gather together, we will lift our community voices together in the prayer that your Son has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand for our call to worship. And it is on page 86 in our hymnal. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever.
Thank you.
Please turn with me in your hymnals to 716 for our Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Eternal God, may we become again like children and receive your kingdom in our midst, that we may walk in your ways without faltering and trust in your Spirit without wavering. Please join me in our prayer of confession. Holy God, it is easy to boast of our faithfulness when life is easy and your blessings cascade over us like ever-flowing streams. Stop our mouths when we brag of our integrity. Help us to be more like Jesus, who taught his disciples to pray that they may be spared from time of trial. May our faithfulness speak louder than our words, that others may see in our example the joys of upright living, whether we are receiving the good from your hand or the bad. Amen. The one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters in the midst of the congregation. I will praise you.
Thank you.
you. That was beautiful. Our offertory sentence today is taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Through him, then let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. I invite our ushers to come forth to receive our tithes and offerings. Thank you. Our scripture selection today is taken from Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 17 and 27, Matthew 19, verse 26, and Luke 1, verse 37. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me? Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. For nothing is impossible with God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Brother Pat.
Good morning. This morning I would like for Sam and the mission team, I'll call them for lack of a better term. I'm sure they refer to themselves differently, but for Sam and the mission team, if they would, to assemble down front so that we as a body of believers here at Jenkins can commission them for a trip that they are about to take this week. And I'd also like for the elders here at Jenkins to step forward and gather around them as they are making their way to the front. If all of the elders would please come and join this mission team, and maybe we can turn and just face the audience here. We'll just gather around them and put our hands on them here in just a moment. But before we pray, I want to read from Acts chapter 13 and also ask for Sam to elaborate in just a moment. But in Acts chapter 13, I begin reading in verse 1. In the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius and Saul. And while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And in just a moment, we're going to do the same here for this team that's about to depart. But before I pray, I would like for Sam to take just a moment and just remind us all when they're leaving, where they're going, and what their objective will be during these coming days. Sam? Would you bow with me as we pray together? Father in heaven, just as the Lord's church did in the days in Acts chapter 13, where they laid hands on Paul and Barnabas as they were sent out to the work in which you had called them to do, so we do likewise this morning, Father, with this team. And I pray earnestly, Lord, that you would bless them with safety, first of all, as they travel. I pray that you would build hedges of protection around them as they labor in your vineyard here in South America. I pray for their health, Father. I know it may be water they're drinking or lettuce they're eating or whatever. I pray that you would protect them from any viruses and bacteria they may encounter and give them good health so they can have energy and be about the work in which you've called them to do. I pray the trip would be productive and fruitful, Father.
And I pray most especially that your Holy Spirit would lead and guide them. And I pray that people they encounter will come in touch with your Son and our Savior. That this team would be a light on a hill. That people would see their good works that they're about and honor and glorify their Creator. So, Father, may they be ambassadors for Christ. And I pray that your team would be strengthened and edified as well as they're about this work. Father, we ask your blessing. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. And may God bless you and go with you. Yes, ma'am. Well, that's exciting to me. That is very, very exciting. I know that many of you here have gone on mission efforts, and you can relate and identify to what they're about to do, but I do ask that you would individually in your prayers at home keep them in mind each day while they're gone. I want you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 18. And I'd like for you to read along with me Genesis chapter 18, I'll begin in verse 9. God said to Abraham, "Where is your wife Sarah?" "There in the tent," he said. Then the Lord said, "I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah your wife will have a son." Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. And Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years. And Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, "After I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure?" She thought it was a joke. The Bible says in verse 12, she laughed to herself. Let me just remind you, you can't even go into your closet, my friends, and think thoughts that God is not aware of what you're reflecting and meditating on. This took place within Sarah's heart. Now, it wasn't necessarily out loud. And then in verse 13, the Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Will I really have a child now that I'm old?'" And then in verse 14, a question is raised. Is anything too hard for the Lord? "I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Now, my friends, I've got to ask you this morning, in your heart of hearts, how big is your God? Is anything too hard for the Lord? Do you really believe in His power? We had read just a moment ago from Jeremiah, "Oh, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you." And then skipping down to verse 27, "I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is anything too hard for me?" Let me ask you a question this morning. Just how big is your God? Maybe that's a bad question because you don't determine how big God is. Maybe a more appropriate question would be, how much do you worry? Or how fearful are you? Or how much and how often do you look to something or to someone in this world for your peace and security? I want to tell you a story. Jesus and Moses and this elderly man were playing golf one day. And Moses teed off first. And he took his driver and he hit the ball and it hooked down into this lake. And Moses walked down to the lake and he took out his staff and he divided the water. And he went down and hit the ball onto the green and one putted for score three. Well, Jesus went next. He took his driver and he hit the ball and it too hooked down into that same lake. And Jesus made his way down to the water and he walked across the water. to where his ball was, and he took a pitching wedge and hit the ball on the green and one putted for three. And finally, the elderly man teed off, and he too hooked his ball down into this same lake. And as the ball was sinking, a fish swam up and swallowed the ball. And as the fish was swimming across the lake, a bird swooped down and clutched the fish in his claws and flew away. And as the bird flew across the golf course with the fish in its clutches, the fish dropped the ball out of its mouth and onto the putting green. And the ball rolled right up to the cup and fell into the hole for a hole in one. At which time Moses turned to Jesus and said, "Remind me to never play golf with your father again." Now, I tell you this ridiculous story to underscore how big our God is. My friends, we serve a miraculous God who is more than capable of intervening in the circumstances of our life and working things together for good for those that love the Lord. How big is your God? How deep is your faith in this God? Our lesson this morning is entitled, "Is Anything Too Hard for the Lord?" Well, turn with me again in your Bible, this time to Exodus. And I want us to read in detail a familiar story, Exodus chapter 14. And if you have your Bible there in front of you, follow along with me. I begin reading in verse 5. The Israelites had been in Egyptian bondage. Do you remember how long? For 400 years in bondage, in slavery in Egypt. And God said, "It's time for the Israelites to leave." And Pharaoh said, not so quick. And so God sent these plagues. And the tenth and final plague, as you all know, was the death of the firstborn son. And the household of Pharaoh was no exception. And in verse 5, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, and Moses and Pharaoh himself said, when his son had died, "Get them out, leave, depart." But when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about the Israelites leaving and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and we've lost their services." So in verse 6, he had his chariot made ready and he took his army with him. And he took 600 of the best chariots along with all of the other chariots of Egypt with officers all over these chariots. The Lord in verse 8 hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites who were marching out boldly. Now, my people, I want to share with you a question this morning, a thought. When people live in rebellion to God too long, their hearts are hardened. Now, folks, that's something you and I need to think about. You know in your heart of hearts whether you're walking in the Spirit or you're walking in the flesh. You can tell by your communion with the Lord on a daily basis or your lack of communion. There are flags all around. There are signs that you can tell the relationship you have with the Lord. You know that. And I'm just suggesting this morning that when people live in rebellion to God too long, God will harden their hearts. Well, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he pursued the Israelites. And in verse 9, the Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea. And in verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. And they were terrified. And they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt?" Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, Moses? Let us serve the Egyptians. It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Now, don't you want to tell the Israelites, is anything too hard for the Lord? Verse 13, Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. My friends, you and I need to read verse 13 over and over and over again. Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you this day. That's what God is saying to you. When verse 14, the Lord will fight for you, you need only to be still. Then in verse 21, Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and he drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and a wall of water on their left. Well, the Egyptians pursued the Israelites, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea were covered by the water. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in Him. My friends, is anything too hard for the Lord? If God can divide the Red Sea and save Israelites, can He not fulfill His promises to you? Can He not deliver you as well? Oh, my friends, I had four other examples to support this point this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, in a couple of minutes, Sam is going to come and lead us there in your song books. Number four, How Great Thou Art, as our closing song, as our invitation song this morning. But before he does, I want you and I to take a serious look at how we personally relate to the lesson of the hour. How do you identify with this question, is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, let me assure you, in the year 2010, circumstances will arise in your life that will test your faith. Somehow, this question, is anything too hard for the Lord, must be woven into the fabric of your soul. The question must become an intricate part of your faith. And if it does, it will lead to you having greater trust in the Lord. And your hope will be placed more and more in His deliverance and less in your own strength. And this in turn will lead us to greater peace and less anxiety in your life. My friends, I've talked enough. Would you stand with me and let's sing this beautiful hymn, How Great Thou Art. Thank you.
attention this morning. The psalmist David said, I will praise you, O Lord, with all of my heart. I will tell of all your wonders. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. For the Lord reigns forever. The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed. He is a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord enthroned in Zion. Proclaim among the nations what he has done. Oh, my friends, whether we're doing that in South America or right here in Nolensville, let us praise the Lord and proclaim what he has done. God bless you. You go in peace and have a wonderful week.